if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 236. This is our 2022 Cadence Bank Houston Open and Ned Bank Challenge Tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews. We've got two previews this week for both events. We've got Houston Open strokes gained analysis. That is from Memorial Park. Well worth looking at. Tournament form stats. We've got combination course and current form stats. Very useful, the two together. And of course, don't forget our PGA Tour. I'm going to reference those when we go through the Houston Open. And DP World Tour prediction optimizer models. All of these features, like this podcast, are completely free of charge. There is no paywall. We must be completely mad. Paul is on Twitter. He is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available along with my weekly golf betting show. Plus, you can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Right. You guys, as listeners, power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. These five-star reviews, both on Apple and Spotify, are so, so important for the health of a podcast. So please keep them coming, chaps and lasses. Right, this one is titled, Come for the Post-it Notes, Stay for the Agronomy. 5 stars. I'd left a 5-star review a couple of years ago, but wanted to update. I just won a FanDuel DFS tournament, thanks in part to Steve's effusive praise of young Tom Kim. He doesn't mean Bob Kim, he means Tom Kim. I am ever grateful to Steve, Paul and Barry for their sage advice and amazing website. Hearing their dulcet tones is still the very best. And that is from Abject Scrabble Junkie. And he is in the US of A. Thank you for your time, Abject.
Lovely stuff. Always good to hear success stories. So if someone's managed to snare a big prize on one of the fantasy golf competitions, that's even better. So yeah, well done on your win, and many thanks for the review. Much appreciated.
It's very jealousy-inducing to hear about the wins, but also good to know if we had any sort of input, good or bad, towards us, or any sort of help, it's cool.
Absolutely.
Are you still playing DraftKings, the two of you?
Yeah, badly. Yeah, not when the mute takes me. Joy, but sorry, Berger.
Sorry, no. Just it's GK. It's just tough when you're not piling in a bunch of teams. You know, if you're only giving yourself a couple of bullets, but it's like there's that kind of gap in the middle between throwing in one team to a few events or just like putting in a whole load of them. I go with a single bullet or something like that and just see what happens. It's more for fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of professional players, aren't there, who mop up a lot of the money with their multiple teams. But you can get lucky with a single dart if you can get things right for 1 week. But yeah, it's relatively slow this time of year all round, isn't it? With both the betting and the DraftKings or the fantasy golf side. So be warming up again for the start of next season.
You only get the hardcore at this time of year, don't you?
Mm, yeah.
I'll tell you what, you only got the hardcore last week, backing Russell Henley at 55-1 to win the Mike over.
Yes. Yes.
Did it with some ease as well, but that's the only way that Russell Henley's going to win a tournament, I think, to be like 30 shots clear come on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a bit Jordan Smith-esque for the first three rounds, wasn't it? Bogey free and looked unassailable. In the end, it was relatively straightforward, wasn't it? But it's, we talk about Russell Henley and not getting over the line, but that's his fourth win now, so... he can do it, but I think you said first win for five and a half years. Wasn't exactly leaping off the page to me when I looked last week, I must say.
Yeah, there were a few bits there. He did have a top 10 score in one of the rounds at the CJ Cup. His ball striking was very good, and his total accuracy. He actually appeared on some of my analysis, but clearly it's Russell Henley, so. I soon glossed over that one. And moved 55. On to Emiliano Grillo instead at 35-1.
Yeah, 55-1. I mean, looking just at his raw numbers last week, you'd have probably needed nearly double that to make to take a punt on it. Well, I would have at least. But I saw a few slips, but nothing, there wasn't a stack of people on social media on him last week. So one for the bookies last week overall.
The one that beat me up that I should have been on was Joel Damon, which I know Barry was on. He was obvious and hitting the ball nicely. He had a top finish there already. So I'm on him this week. So we'll see how that goes. Just back to Russell Henley. His four wins. One on past Barlam now. And we've got three other wins on Bermuda. So he's won at Houston, the old Houston course. He's won PGA National, where they played the Honda Classic, and the Sony Open. So very, 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 very Bermuda positive golf for Russell Henley. There you go. I've got very little to say about last week. It was a complete and utter disaster for me. But then I kind of half expected it, because I've been having quite a few contending performances. So you do get some washouts.
Yeah, you're going to get that. And, Henley was so far ahead going into the final round, it was almost almost like it's a non-event in that respect.
Oh, I lost all interest in watching any of it once it panned out like that. I need to remember, every time I back Billy Horschel, he does absolutely jack. I need to get that in my mind. But to be fair, I was caught in exactly the same spot as Steve Palmer for the Racing Post, because he was on Griot, he was on Horschel. And he's on his old favourite, Aaron Wise. I expect he's on Aaron Wise again this week. So that'll be interesting. But, these players just disappoint. Horschel, every time I back him, I always back him with enthusiasm. And then, apart from Wentworth last year when he did win, I get a lot of 45ths, 55ths miscuts with Billy Horschel when I'm on him.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help when he's at 18-1.
No. No, and he can win. He can and does win, but it's, there's...
Never with me on
it. It's not a string of, I don't know, in the past we've seen him go, back-to-back good contending weeks or back-to-back wins in the past, haven't we? But it seems a little bit more erratic now with his results, as you say.
It does take me, though, to a situation where someone like Billy Horschel, he's playing... the Mayakoba, what really is making him tick going into that tournament? And again, Russell Henley last week, 59th in the world, gets the win, all of a sudden, up to the mid-30s in the world rankings, playing the Century Tournament of Champions on the first 2023 event, and gets a Masters invite pre-Christmas.
Yep.
It's just trying to link dots together, isn't it? We kept talking about Alex Noren last week. Still don't think he's worth looking at on something like Pass Barlam. I think he's more of a look for this week, actually, where the course is going to be tough, hard, firm. That's Alex Noren territory.
Yeah, if it was on Bentgrass.
If it was on Bentgrass, yeah. But it's these players in the world rankings. These players above 50th in the world rankings, and it's come through time and time again recently. A lot of players Seamus Power being another one recently who's got himself. He's up to 29th in the world now, Seamus. No, pushing the door now for Ryder Cup inclusion for next year. If he has a reasonable start to next year, he's in a very, very good spot to actually go up. If you're just looking at world rankings for now, Noren, 50th, English, 51st, Mackenzie Hughes, 52nd. Mackenzie Hughes did win the other week, though, so he will have an invite to the Century Tournament of Champions. Will be going to the Masters. So all of a sudden, top 50 doesn't feel as important to Mackenzie Hughes. He's going to the Masters anyway. So Heath Degala at 53, he went to the Tour Championship, so he's got his exemptions to the majors for next year. And then you're moving down to the likes of Lucas Herbert, who I'm going to be tempted to tip up in yours, just purely for his world ranking.
Yeah, yeah.
Dean Burmester, we mentioned last week, he's at 58. Adrian Meronk at 59, Minwoo Lee at 60. I won't keep going, but they're the players that are on the fringes of the world's top 50. Big, big carrots available for all of those with a big contending performance before the end of the season.
Yeah, and a lot of the live guys, they're drifting down the charts. You know, while these guys are going up, they're slowly drifting down, aren't they? So it may not take the kind of performance or the kind of points that you would have needed in the past to elevate yourself kind of dramatically up that list. So, yeah, as you say, a big carrot for a few of these guys to have a decent end to 2022.
Good example. Henley, 59th, jumps all the way up to 33rd. That's a considerable jump. Like you say, you know, he's now ranking above Dustin Johnson in the world rankings. Yeah. We won't go down this route, but it just does make a mockery of what's going on in world golf at the moment. Two cracking tournaments this week. Decent fields. I think let's mix this up. Let's go with the Nedbank first this week. The second last event of this season on the DP World Tour. It's called South Africa's Major, and it's a reasonably strong field headed this week by Tommy Fleetwood, who is defending the title he won in 2019.
Indeed.
So let's go through the Nedbank Challenge, Paul.
Yeah, as you say, just the two events now, isn't it? And the DP World Tour have announced just the six events after the DP World Tour Championship before Christmas. They were co-sanctioned ones either in South Africa or Australia, so they're going to be extremely low-key events by the looks of it. But for the diehards out there, there's some interest for the latter end of 2022. But for all intents and purposes, the main season finishes next week. This week and next, both limited fields. We've got the top 60 available in the Race to Dubai rankings this week, plus a handful of invites. The top 50 available then go through to next week's finale at the Earth Course for the DP World Tour Championship. So there will be a little bit of jostling for positions, particularly for those guys on and around the bubble, on and around 50th place. I expect it will extend down to mid-50s thereabouts. But even so, some of the guys outside of that will be trying their damnedest to get themselves as high as possible in the rankings.
I'm just looking at those standings, Paul. Sharma at 50. Tapio Pulkkinen boosted himself up to 51st. So that's looking pretty solid to get in. David Law at 52nd. And then we've got Waring, 53. Adam Scott, clearly that isn't a problem. He's not playing. Xander Lombard at 55. Soderberg at 56. Molinari at 57. Calais Samuya, 58. And Thomas Dietry at number 60. With Lucas Herbert at 63.
Yeah, there's a few guys with a bit to play for this week. A few of the fancied guys as well. You talk about Detry, he's one of the players near the top of the market. Fleetwood heads the betting this week at there's a little bit of 10-1. We're recording this 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday over here in the UK. I expect he'll go off 9-1, maybe just a little shorter in some places. as you said, Steve, he's effectively the defending champion. The last time we played this was 2019, the Ned Bank. The cancellations due to COVID since have meant that we've had a bit of a belated defence from Tommy, but he's here this week to defend, and the favourite to do so as well. Jordan Smith, 14-1. Of course, Jordan lapped the field at the Portugal Masters with that absolute masterclass a couple of weeks back. Thomas Detry, he's been playing some nice stuff, hasn't he, over on the PGA Tour. Can't deny that. 16-1. If he can get himself over the line.
He's locked up his PGA Tour card already.
Yeah.
That's how well he's playing.
Well, he can play with some
fantastic
freedom.
Fantastic. We mentioned it last week. He's just been playing some outstanding stuff in the States. Mm.
Just needs to get that win, doesn't he? Ryan Fox, 20-1. Bob McIntyre, 20-1. Rasmus Højgaard, 22s. Christian Bezuidenhout, 22-1. Minwoo Lee, 25s. Brandon Grace, 28-1. Lucas Herbert, you mentioned, 28-1 also. Antoine Rosner, same price, 28-1. 33-1, bar those 10 or so players I've just read through. It is a short field, as I said, no cut. Most of the bookies this week are back to bog standard 5 or 6 places each way, 5 1/4, 6 1/5 typically. Bet365 do have their each way extra proposition running. They do have an 8 each way, 1/5 of the odds market this week. So do check them out. The prices are just below the headline market prices in general. But with a 65, 66 man field, whatever it ended up being, 8 places each way is a fairly strong proposition for this week. So do check them out. In terms of the course, as ever, we're playing at the Gary Player Country Club at Sun City. Now, the Ned Bank has been around for a number of years on the Sunshine Tour. Steve, you described it as the South African Major, which back in the day, it used to be very limited. It was a 12-man field, and big bucks for the players who attended. It's morphed a little bit over the years, up to a 30-man field, up to 78. And the last couple of renewals, this and the one in 2019, it's been mid-60s or thereabouts. So we do have plenty of course history. You can check that out on the website this week. We've also got the 2020 and the 2021 South African Open that was held here at Sun City on the Gary Player. So there are additional, and we've just effectively added them onto the stats this week. There's some additional results from more recent times since the last Ned Bank to peruse as well. There's also a number at Sun City, the Sun City estate, with both the Gary Player and the Lost City course are used quite extensively on a lot of the smaller Sunshine Tour events over the course of the season. So there's typically 2 or 3 smaller events held there as well. So if you're so inclined, there's plenty of data to pour over, plenty of results to look into this week. The ones that are going to be relevant for us, of course, most likely going to be the Ned Bank results up to 2019 and, of course, those two South African Open results from 2020 and 2021. The course itself, Gary Player course, 7,834 yard par 72. It's played at altitude, so that does bring that yardage down. It sounds like an absolute brute when you look at it on paper, and it is a very long course, but the yardage or the altitude will bring that down to, I don't know, let's call it 7.2, 7.3. That's in normal conditions. It is likely, looking at the forecast, there was a lot of thunderstorms forecast for yesterday. There's more thunder and lightning forecast from Friday onwards. So any rain that falls, it's going to soften the fairways. That's going to make it play longer. So even with the altitude, I still suspect that this course is going to play quite long this week. Particularly when you've got fairly thin fairways. So if you're missing fairways, your approach shots are going to be really quite challenging. Thick rough, trees and bushes at the flank of the fairways. So it can be quite a tricky course. Slick bent grass greens. It certainly is no pushover in anything but perfect conditions. Going back to 2013 winner was Thomas Bjorn, 30-1. Danny Willett won the year after, 25-1. Mark Leishman, 66-1 in 2015 for Leishman. Alex Noren won in 2016 at 20-1. Brandon Grace 16-1 in 2017. And then two more typical, I guess, players that you might expect to perform well at the Ned Bank, given the dimensions of the course. Lee Westwood 40-1 in 2018. Tommy Fleetwood, as we've mentioned, 14-1 in 2019. Now, if you look back at the wins from Bjorn and Willett and Leishman, they were between 18 and 20 under par. So nice, relatively receptive conditions, not much wind, sunny conditions those years. Grace was 11 under when he won, Fleetwood 12 under. If it gets a little bit tricky, can be, you know, a little bit of wind, or if it's more difficult from tee to green, it's not a pushover, particularly when you consider a lot of the scoring's done in the par fives. If you're making most of your score in the par fives, then the rest of the course, you're pretty much hanging on, trying to make par on the par threes and par fours. So it can be quite challenging. I mean, put that into context as well. Jim Furyk, back in the days of the kind of pre-European Tour, as it was at time, events, Jim Furyk's won around here twice. And you know, any course that Jim wins on suggests that it can present a bit of a challenge. And more recently, Danny Van Tonder, he won at 16 under in 2021, and Christian Bezuidenhout won at 18 under in 2020. Those two South African Opens that I mentioned. So that's kind of a flavour. I suspect this week we might get somewhere 15 under. Might be, if I was to put my neck on the line and give us a winning score, I'd suggest somewhere in that kind of region, I think. Now, you have got some stats from this week or from previous events to peruse. All round stats tend to be the way to look at this. I know it doesn't really help, but if you're playing well in all aspects of your game, any to pick out particularly greens in regulation, from a traditional sense, putts per green in regulation, are the two that kind of shine through there. We do have a little bit of strokes gained data. It's really patchy, so we've not included it in the summaries this week in terms of stats, because it is that patchy. But we do have data for Tommy Fleetwood's win back in 2019. He was first for strokes gained tee to green, first for strokes gained off the tee, seventh strokes gained approach. That's typical Tommy when he's playing his best golf. Christian Bezuidenhout, he was second for strokes gained tee to green, first for strokes gained approach when he won the South African Open in 2020. So both instances, it was the long game. The consistent stat there, strokes gained tee to green. So if you're going to pluck one stat out for this week, that'd probably be where I would go personally. Each winner here since 2013, they had a top 20 finish in one of the three starts. So a little bit of form is a good starting point. Course form, not really a prerequisite by the looks of it. Thomas Bjorn, Willett, Leishman, Noren, all of them were debutants when they arrived here. So the experience of playing the course, not absolutely essential. I mean, you can balance that a little bit with Grace and Westwood and Fleetwood, who all had top 10 finishes here, but I wouldn't get overly hung up personally on whether a player's had a decent finish here in the past or not. Doesn't seem to be an absolute prerequisite. Boiling it all down, I've backed four players this week. I took a good look at the top of the market. And you can't ignore Tommy Fleetwood, because the course is absolutely made for him. He opened at 11-1 yesterday. He's been backed into 10s. He'd be going off, as I said, shorter than that, 9-1. Tommy playing his best golf from tee to green would be very difficult to leave out. I mean, his fourth last time out at the CJ Cup, wasn't it? It was the putter that really did damage there. And I think if I'd have seen a real spark of form with Tommy's long clubs on his last start, perhaps I'd have taken a chance on him this week. But when it's the putter that's doing the damage for Tommy, that's not always assured to happen. So, yeah, I at the price on offer, I could leave him alone. In fact, I left all of the top of the market alone. The first player, and this is the guy, he was first on my list. I really fancied him from the back end of last week, and reasonably pleased with the price. He opened at 50-1 yesterday. He's been backed in a bit. There's some 40-1 out there available right now. That's a Thristan Lawrence. Now, Lawrence, twice a DP World Tour winner in the last year, So he's got that winning bug, hasn't he? We talked about world ranking, 89th in the world. Now, with these live guys dropping down the rankings, 89th, and with the addition of some extra events at the back end of 2022, if Lawrence can play well this week and or next week, he could put himself right on the cusp of a top 50 position, I think. Now, if you're picking one of the two events this week or next that would suit him better, this week, absolutely right up his alley, I think. For the season, 25th, the strokes going tee to green, and that's with quite a few missed cuts in there as well. He's been quite erratic for all of the good stuff that's been played. And when he's played well, he's tended to be that strokes going tee to green that's really shone through in his data. Won at Cran-Sulcier at the back end of August. That was at altitude. A little bit inconsistent since hence the price we're getting this week. But 20th at Le Golf National, again, some good tee to green stats. 6th at Valderrama on his last start. 4th for strokes gained tee to green that week. It all seems to be adding up to me. Won the Joburg Open. Remember the Joburg last year? It was the one that was cut down to two rounds in the end due to the COVID concerns at the time. That was at altitude, though. Still needed to put two good rounds together, which he did. 19th here last year at the South African Open. That was after an opening round of 74. He recovered, got himself up into semi-contention, 9th going into Sunday, and then kind of trod water from there. But even so, shows an aptitude to play the course. He's also got a smattering of Sunshine Tour events here at Sun City, or the Sun City Estate over the years as well, with a few decent enough finishes to suggest that he's a punt at that kind of 40-1 bracket or thereabouts. He is being backed quite heavily. I've seen a few tips from this week as alongside mine. So if you fancy a bit of Thriston this week, then I would get in sooner rather than later to secure that price personally. So Thriston's in. I've also backed Callum Shinquin, another one that's been nibbled a little bit since yesterday's first show. 60-1 early on, 50-1 available right now. Now, a long course, wet weather's possible. Strokes going off the tee could be an equally critical stat this week. And Shinquin, that's what he's all about. It's hitting those drives long and relatively straight, getting himself in position to attack courses. 4th for strokes gained off the tee for the season. Those stats don't lie when we're in the early part of November. 2 wins now. He won Cyprus in 2020. That was early in November as well. So for those of you who like your biorhythm links, that's a good one to pluck out. Celtic Manor, he won earlier this year in the summer. He won that by 4 shots. That was a 12 under total. Celtic Manor played tough. 12 under, he won by 4. Again, looking for someone who can handle a relatively tricky test, relatively tricky assignment is, that gives us evidence that he can do exactly that. More recently, 2nd at the Dunhill Links, 37th last time out of Valderrama. Not so good in terms of the headline finish, but 6th for strokes gained approach, coupled with, we know how good he is from off the tee as well. 29th here back in 2017, that's his only form on this particular track. But he missed 3 of his previous 5 cuts, wasn't playing as well as he is now. And you remember back to 2017, that was the year that he'd lost that playoff to Rafa Cabrera Bayo at the Scottish Open. And it took him quite a while to get his head around that. And a number of the events he was turning up to just didn't look quite right. So for him to finish 29th here, that was reasonably good. Twice a winner since that point, playing much, much better golf now. I think Callum Shinquin can have a decent week here at the Nedbank. Same kind of price, Hurley Long, 55-1. I couldn't leave Long out looking at his form of late. He started 2022 really well, 3rd at Ras Al Khaimah, 2nd at the Kenya Open. Don't forget, Kenya has some altitude to contend with as well, so a fair pointer for events like this. 6th at the British Masters, more recently 9th in Mallorca, and 5th last time out at the Portugal Masters. So he's coming into this off the back of form of 9th, 5th. Looking at those two events as well that were held over on the PGA Tour, those co-sanctioned events, 4th at the Barbasol, Seventh at the Barracuda. And again, the Barracuda, another one that's held at altitude. It's around about 6,000 feet of elevation there. So again, another interesting indicator that he can handle the conditions here. It is his debut, but the course should suit him nicely, I think. 10th for strokes going tee to green last time out of Villamora. So his long game's in a decent enough place, in my view, for him to contend. So long's the third one. Fourth one this week, fourth and final, is Oliver Becker, 70-1. I've backed Becker at. Seven Sunshine Tour wins now. Another one, like Hurley Long, who started the year really strongly. Eight top 11 finishes in 10 starts he had to start the year. You remember, he went along to Live not long after that. He played the Centurion event, finished sixth, which is no bad effort, and hasn't been back since. So he's one of the guys who was a one-hit wonder for the Live.
That's why he Live played setup. So well at the Centurion. Pocketed a couple of mil.
Yeah,
disappeared. He knew he was on a one event contract.
Yeah, do well. Yeah, make your money and off your toddle. So with that, all of that money weighing him down, the form dropped off a little bit. But he started to pull it back since. Ninth at the Italian Open, third on the Sunshine Tour the week before last. That was his best finish since. So he's knocked the rust off a little bit. Got himself back into contending form on the Sunshine Tour on home soil. It's got a great record here at Sun City as well. I mean, as I said, they've played a number of events either here or at Lost City, or some of the events you'll look at historically are a combination of both courses. They would have played a little rota between the two courses, so do bear that in mind. But it's got a great record overall at this Sun City estate. Five top 14 finishes, as well as a 2016 win at the Sun City Challenge. 20th here as well at the South African Open in 2020, then second here last year behind Danny Van Tonder at the South African Open. It all seems to add up to me with Oliver Becker. I think he's a good price, a good punt at 70-1 in my view. And then my four, Oliver Becker, Long, Shinquin and Thriston Lawrence at the top. All kind of juicy mid prices this week for me. Anyone you fancy, Barry?
I like your wheelhouse of where you're at, and I couldn't resist following you in on Lawrence and oh my God, it's gone there. Lawrence just popped out to me as well. After reading your tip and having a look through, it made a lot of sense. And Hurley Long, I've jumped in on that too. It sets up nice this week for the each way extra market on Bet365. I know it sounds like I harp on it each week, but I do like that kind of extra places. You know, if I can grab back just that place money for the week, that's a win. And in a very short field, like let's say I've taken the 10 places with these guys, even though it's 170 odds, if I can just claw back a bit of stake and a little bit of profit on that bet, happy days. So I'm liking how that kind of syncs up this week. And the other one I've gone for, who I was talking about for his performance a couple of weeks ago when he lost to Jordan Smith, was Gavin Green. Just loved how he was gung-ho. It was win or bust really for him. And I'm kind of just banking on the fact that he's going to keep up that kind of attitude and go for it here. So I've taken him as well. Nice prices, like Thriston Lawrence 40-1, Gavin Green 45-1, Hurley Long 45-1 on that those markets. So that's me.
Yeah. No, I did have a good look at Gavin Green. The only thing, and I guess you're plucking, you're trying to pluck a reason not to back a player out. I looked at all of his rounds at Sun City, and he hasn't broken 70, which I think...
could be an
for
issue.
Me, that was enough to put me off. Yeah, this week he could go out there and shoot 63 in the first round and put himself in a great position. Given how he's playing at Portugal, who knows? I was very, very close. So, in a way, Barry, I wish you the best of luck with that, but I sincerely hope that he's not up there because I'll be gutted.
Another more accurate way you want him to miss the cut.
he's not missing the cut this week, but even so, we'll see. But what about you, Steve?
Bjorn, Willett, Leishman, Alex Noren, Ben Grass. Brandon Grace, Lee Westwood, Tommy Fleetwood. That's a winner's list right there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You've got some decent names. So I'm looking for names that are in dire need of result, who could come here and fit in with that kind of winner's list. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking winner. I'm not going down the each way route here. I'm looking for the winner this week. So I am going for... You got to say, Thomas Dietrich's playing some right good golf, but I'm not backing him at 14-1. The player that jumped out to me, Christian Bezuidenhout. Playing some decent enough stuff in the States. 12th at the BMW. I mean, that was a loaded field over in Delaware. 20th at the Shriners. Good field. Top 30 at the Zozo. And then he goes home. We'll forget about the 65th at the CJ Cup. But goes home. Back in South Africa. The form's half decent. And we just know with Bezuidenhout that he clearly gets on well with this golf course. Although it doesn't show on the Nedbank, does it? It's the two events post that.
Well, yeah.
Was it the South African one, Open he won here in 2020?
It was. And he won by five as well, five clear shots. So he really did test the course that
way. So his form on this course is 24th, 1st and 6th. And I'm getting him at 20-1. I'll take that. So Christian Bezuidenhout for me, back on his beloved bent grass. I think that's half the trouble, you know, with the way that he relatively hasn't really flown that high on the PGA Tour. I think the courses are too long and a lot of the schedule is all on Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
And he is clearly, like most South Africans, very bent grass positive.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a while for them to get their head around the different strains.
His game is slightly too short and slightly too erratic for the PGA Tour to be really effective over there. And, you know, it doesn't surprise you that his best result ever on the PGA Tour is second this year at the John Deere Classic, short, bent grass, low scoring, tree lined. So I think it'll go well this week, Christian Bezuidenhout. Just purely for the need to do well, I'm going to go with Lucas Herbert.
Yeah.
He needs a result for his world ranking. He needs a result to get to the race to Dubai. So there's two big reasons for Lucas Herbert to go well this week. 55th in the world, and he's currently, I'm scanning up, he's 63rd on the race to Dubai rankings. So purely on that basis, I'd have been probably all over Dean Burmester this week, but he's staying on the PGA Tour, which I found interesting. So I'm on Herbert, I'm on Bezuidenhout, and I just can't resist. I'm sorry, guys, I'm a sucker. I'm an absolute sucker. I'm going to go for Gorgeous George Coetzee, 33-1.
Hey, won on the Sunshine Tour last week.
He won the South African PGA Championship last week.
Yep.
Barely hit a green. That doesn't seem to matter. George Coetzee, 67th currently in the Race to Dubai standings, has a great week this week. All of a sudden, gets himself over to the DP World Tour Championship. And we've seen with Coetzee in the past, gets a win, can then go back-to-back wins. And certainly can go back to back after a win, contending performances. So yeah, Gorgeous George Coetzee. I just couldn't resist at 33-1.
Yeah, he's back. Those on my post-it note, but
I thought for a second. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
I know. I was saying he was back on my post-it note after the last time I backed him, but that's each for their own.
I kind of just stay away from George, but just enjoy watching the roller coaster. After being burned a few times over the years and missing him by a week and whatnot. So I thought Steve was going to jump in and pick up the Ross Fisher slack that you left there, Paul.
I'm leaving Ross way behind. Saying that, though, he's got a great, great record in South Africa. And again, he's in dire need of a decent finish.
If you look at a player who...
69th in the race to Dubai, Ross Fisher.
Yeah. If you look at Lee Westwood, Tommy Fleetwood... Ross Fisher in terms of game style, then yeah, you could put two and two together quite readily. It could go well. On the basis I backed him last time that he played, yeah, I expect he will go well. We'll see. That's that, I think.
I might have a couple of quid each way on Ross as well. you've squeezed me into Ross Fisher. I can't believe I'm doing it.
Let's see if we do it.
There's
on the
one
sly.
Place in the world he seems to actually have a mentality where he can hang around at the top of the leaderboard. It tends to be in South Africa. So good vibes and all that.
I wonder what the connection is. Is it just eating steak and wine all week, or
who knows?
Yeah.
He almost ran me over once. That's a different story. I shouldn't really have walked out in front of his car, should I, Paul?
No, that's probably the
that didn't really help.
Probably the trick.
Cadence Bank Houston Open on the PGA Tour. I love this event. They've moved it to Memorial Park, which is a proper golf course. This is an event and a golf course that Barry O'Hanrahan will really like. 7,412 yards, par 70. And it's tough. It's ranked 8th. And 9th in terms of difficulty on the PGA Tour, the two times they played it. And don't forget, those numbers include major venues. So it's probably in the top, well, it is, it's in the top six hardest PGA Tour venues of the season. And why is that? Well, it's a damn hard golf course. It's long. It's got raised greens with shaved edges around them so that the ball trickles down 25, 30 foot. If you hit the wrong part of a green complex, it can just roll away. And amazingly enough, on the PGA Tour, they don't tend to water the greens. So the greens release. It's like heaven to a lot of us. And I'm really looking forward to this event. It's a proper golf course, and bigger names tend to come to the top. It's completely 180 degrees different to what we saw last week at the Mayakoba, which was basically lift, clean, and play. So away you go, boys. Just aim for flags. If you do that this week, you're going to get eaten alive, because this golf course deserves respect. It's a Tom Doak renovation, and Brooks Koepka got involved with the renovation as well. So you can see it's a proper, stern, major championship golf test. And that, to me, brings players into the mix that you can get involved with this week. I mean, I tipped up Jason Kokrag last year at 55-1. 50-1, I think it was. Purely on the basis that Kokrag, long off the tee, and can grind. And he has a history, or he had a history on the PGA Tour, of grinding at courses like Riviera Country Club, Copperhead. Proper tough assignments. Jason Kokrag would often elevate himself. Oh, Bay Hill, of course, would start to come to the top of leaderboards. So that's exactly where I'm at this week. Agronomy-wise, 419 Bermuda grass fairways, 419 Bermuda grass rough. They've actually upped the rough length this year from 2.25 to 2.5 inches. And I'm reading plenty of player quotes saying, if you're in the rough here, you're basically bunting it towards the greens and praying that it will hold, because you've lost control of your ball and the ball will not stop on these releasing greens. That's good to see. So if you can get total drivers that are long and drivers that aren't completely at right angles off the tee more often than they're not, I think you've got a half chance here. It doesn't feel like a Cameron Champ kind of course where he's so indiscriminate off the tee. I don't think you're going to get away with it around here. You're not going to get away with it across 72 holes. There's going to be too many doubles and maybe triples that will destroy your card eventually. I think you've got to have the mix. And that's what I've looked at. I've looked in my analysis And it worked last year, and it worked. I mean, Carlos Ortiz put me onto this. Carlos Ortiz won here the first time they played. He was 130-1, I believe. And Kokrag last year was 50-1. So yeah, Ortiz was 160s, Kokrag 50-1. Lanto Griffin, he played also in this autumn because the Houston Open used to be the week before the Masters. It then moved to autumn. So since it's moved to autumn, we've had 50-1, 160-1, and 60-1 winners of this tournament. Doesn't scream Scottie Scheffler at 11-2. And I know Scottie's got all these reasons to win. He's a Texan, goes well in Texas, could become world number one again if he, you know, if he wins, blah, 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 blah. But it just doesn't, at this point, it doesn't feel like a Scottie Scheffler 11-2 victory. Clearly, trends and narratives change. I'll tell you what I did, and I'm going to highlight this. I don't think our predictor models get far enough traction on our podcast. We've got a firm golf course variable. It rolls for 5 years, and I think at events like this, it's really fascinating just to look at the names that appear towards the top of that variable, because apparently there was very, very little rain in Houston. The area had a very dry summer and early autumn with no rain recorded from August until the end of October. There's been a little bit of rain around, but I just don't think there's going to be much cut in the fairways. And clearly they'll prep the green, so you know they're not going to be lightning quick on Thursday, but they don't seem afraid here to let those greens release out. So I just want to look who plays well on firm assignments on the PGA Tour. And you don't get to see them that often. That's the point. So I'm just throwing some names out. Here's the top 12. I've got Hadwin, Joel Damon, Sebastian Munoz. Francesco Molinari is an interesting name. I didn't tip him up. I think he deserves some respect this week, Molinari, because he was very, very prominent on the leaderboard after 2 days at the Mayakoba. Fell away terribly, but something's percolating with Francesco, and we know Ryder Cup year in Italy, that guy is going to be super, super focused. This long, tough golf course will suit Francesco Molinari.
Yeah,
we've got Luke List. Pardon?
So, yeah, if it's fast greens as well, then that's right up Francesco's.
Suits him, doesn't it? Top eight, Tony Finau, Maverick McNealy, Alex Noren, and we know he's in dire need. He's clinging at 50th in the world. He does play DP World Tour Championship next week, though. Then we've got Denny McCarthy, Sam Burns, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose, and that's really living off results way back in that five-year cycle. And number one, Jason Day. So that, statistically, is just a feel for players that play well on firm, fast golf courses. I'll put a link in the description, of course, to the PGA Tour model this week. So you can just have a player with it completely free of charge. That's where I'm at then. So I've actually put this down as a technical golf course this week. So I think potentially something around the 10 under, 11 under mark, or even higher in terms of scoring, could be single digit, wins this. Because there's 15 to 20 mile an hour winds forecast across the whole tournament on a golf course that's punishing, long, and likely to play firm and fast. Should be a cracker. I've gone for four. First thing to say, I am on the Seb Straka train. I managed to get the world number 27. Have I got that number right? Let's have a quick check. Yeah, the world number 27. First show I saw, I can't remember who it was, but I saw somebody at 100-1 on Seb Straka. Now, I can't work out how the world number 27 can be a 100-1 chance in this field.
Yeah.
Can you?
No, everything that we've discussed, I know Barry picked up a lovely win on him earlier in the year, and he backed him a fair amount recently, particularly on Bermuda grass greens, and he just isn't getting the respect in the market, is he? As you say, 100-1 early doors. There was 90-1 available with 8 places as well, early on as well. It was, I couldn't ignore it. I know you couldn't ignore it. I don't know about Barry. Did you get a bit of Sep, Barry, or have you not on him?
Oh, I can't resist that. It's just such a mismatch.
Yeah,
I can't quite get my head around why do they not like the guy? What is it about Seb Straka, his world ranking, his form, and 100-1 on a golf course where he's finished fourth already?
Yep.
Or was it? It was fourth or fifth. It just makes no sense to me. I'm just reading through his numbers so far this season: 45th for greens in reg, 31st for driving accuracy, top 85 for driving distance all drives last season, and 32nd so far this year for ball striking. And we just know with Sep, Bermuda grass is where it's at. He's just so Bermuda grass positive. It's unbelievable. And he's won this year on the PGA Tour at the Honda Classic with a single-digit winning score. So he can grind. Doesn't mind a grind whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm having that. Take that. Second at St. Jude that was a major championship quality field. Sixth for 72-hole scoring at the Tour Championship, and second when we were on him at the Sanderson Farms. That's three of his last four outings on Bermuda grass. So I'll take the 90-1.
Yep. I'm with you.
Anyone else at bigger prices? Because my next shortest is 50-1. So have you guys got triple digit prices or something around that 50 and above level that you can throw out there to the listeners?
Yeah, I've only backed two. One of them was Seb Straka. The other one, and you talked about a long course, tough course, long and straight, certainly isn't a bad place to start with this. I've backed Davis Thompson. Now, I took the 150-1 with 5 places. I know there's more out there, but that was such an outlying price. I couldn't resist that. 100-1 generally, if you're looking at extended each way places, 150 if you're going bog standard. Ninth at the 40 net, 12th last time out at the Shriners. Last time out at the Shriners, he was 4th strokes gained off the tee, 5th strokes gained tee to green. And as I say, he hits it a long way. He hits it relatively straight for a guy who hits it as far as he does, which I think could work really quite nicely. Yeah. One on the Corn Ferry Tour back in the summer. I think he's the kind of player that could step up to be a PGA Tour winner sooner rather than later. And at the price, I couldn't resist that, I must say. Davis Thompson.
Davis Thompson, 12th for ball striking, 54th for driving distance all drives, and 22nd for greens in regulation so far this season. So yeah, that follows the narrative perfectly.
I think he fits.
He does.
So yeah, that's the only other one other than Sep that I've plucked out so far.
What about you, Baron? Are you still doing your homework?
I'm trying not to get. I think that the more elite players will come to the top of the leaderboard this week. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air in terms of the way the course is set up versus the copy paste that they seem to have week on week. So
well said.
It makes it very. It just makes it more interesting and more engaging straight away because you know you're not just on the watching the same thing on repeat, just at a different location. So when it comes to courses like toughening up and getting a bit firmer, there's a lot of patience and mental fortitude that feels like that sort of those skill sets are built by playing a few majors in your career and having experience at that. So that kind of matches up with guys who seem a bit more elite and that brings them down to the shorter prices. So as much as I love going to chase after a long price, my eyes were drawn to Denny McCarthy.
Came in those Ferb stats, didn't he? Top five on our predictor model.
Yep. Yeah, can handle it.
So, I mean, I just, the guy
hits US the Open, ball. Wasn't he? Played really well this year.
Yeah, he hits the ball so, so well. He's like, as Minwoo Lee says, he's a flusher. And his two outings here have been 38th and 11th last year, 6th a couple of weeks ago. It just all kind of matched up quite nicely. I love longer than 33-1, but I'm there. I'm on him.
I'll throw one big name out there, a big price. I'm currently seeing him on the Bet365. Bear with me. I'm looking at the wrong thing. It's good podcasting, this. Ryan Palmer, 160-1, 8 places each way with Bet365 by their each way extra facility. Ryan Palmer, the sort, won't win, doesn't win. Brilliant in Texas, great on long golf courses. I can remember him contending at Torrey Pines, can grind.
Mm.
And he was kind of fringy playing nicely at the CJ Cup last time. Again, on a golf course that was long and slightly releasing in terms of its greens. So I might put sort of a couple of pound each way on Ryan Palmer. He's the sort that will just pop up, and he does play well in his home state. Right. Joel Damon, I mentioned him towards the top of the podcast. I'm all over Joel Damon this week. Kind of going down the route that Barry has there with Denny McCarthy. Damon gets things done slightly differently, but he was in the top 10 at the US Open. He was the 36-hole leader at the country at Brookline Country Club in June. And he's just flushing it. Absolutely flushing it. Now, I managed to get on Joel, I think it was 50-1.
Yep.
Yeah, That's a mad price. That's a crazy price. When I managed to get 50-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way, he was 28-1 with Skybet at 8 places each way. So that's huge differential. I doubt if that 50-1's right there now with Betfred. But you just look at Damon, he can grind. He's got results at courses I like. Torrey Pines, Riviera, a fifth. Fifth at Bay Hill. And as I said, he's got that second at Quail Hollow, which can play firm, fiery, and potent really, really long. So, yeah. He's also led at points at Copperhead, Quail Hollow, TPC Potomac. These are tough golf courses. So, yeah, Joel Damon. His win, actually, the one win he has had at the 2021 Corrales, came at 12 under par. So this is, you know, these just feelings you get, players that can hang around when par is a good score. So 50-1, Joel Damon, I'm on with Betfred, 8 places each way. So far, Seb Straka at 90s, still can't believe that price. 50-1, Joel Damon. The one I've taken, the one I had in my mind very, very early for this, I'm amazed how well the bloke is hitting the ball and flushing the ball so far this season. Jason Day. And in this narrative at the moment of players like Russell Henley that haven't won for 5.5 years, Jason and Keegan Bradley and Jordan Smith and Mackenzie Hughes, Jason Day would just fit like a hand in a glove. So far this year on the PGA Tour, he's 7th for ball striking. He's in the top 100 for driving distance all drives. He's not as prestigiously long as he used to be, but he's long enough. He's 26th for driving accuracy. Jason Day, 26th for driving accuracy.
Straight
10th for greens in regulation. And his usual 45th, top 50, elite scrambling game.
Yeah.
His first ever PGA Tour victory came at the Byron Nelson in Texas. He also won the World Match Play at San Antonio the first time they moved it across. So he likes Texas golf. He's got a top 4 at Colonial. It didn't really fit with his elite schedule, but now that he's come down a peg or 5, Jason Day is coming back to play these Texas events. And I just think it's, we've always said, firm, agronomy, wind. This is when players like Cam Smith, Jason Day, Mark Leishman, Matt Jones in the past, these Australians, Stuart Appleby. Great. You look at Stuart Appleby's record at the Houston Open. It's when they start coming back. Australians love Texas. They just love these more difficult scoring conditions and assignments. So I'm on Jason Day. 33-1 with Betfred on J-Day. Just hope his back holds out. And at the top end, I just... Scottie Scheffler, no. But Sam Burns. I'm just going to cover him off. 12-1. 2.5 points each way with Betfred. 8 plays each way with Sam Burns. If there's one guy, you just look at this. One guy that at the top that could just spoil it and just... be in contention and win it at a very short price. It's Sam Burns. He's long. He wins a hell of a lot. I mean, four-time winner in his past 37 PGA Tour starts. That's a decent win rate. Mm. And I was amazed. You know that rolling five-week firm variable in our predictor? Sam Burns has still got 9 or 10 months of PGA Tour events to build that score up, and he's ranking fourth already.
Yeah, yeah, enjoys it.
So clearly, yeah, he's won at Copperhead twice. You look where he wins, Copperhead. He's won at Colonial. It just all fits like a hand in a glove for Sam Burns. So yeah. I still think with Sam as well, he's in the top 12, 13 in the world, and he's, you actually look at Ryder Cup qualification, I know it's early, doesn't appear anywhere in their qualification process. So for him, he seems to be one of those very rare players that when he actually tees it up, he's 100% committed. So yeah, Burns at 12-1 for me. Jason Day at 33-1. Could this be his long-awaited victory since the last time he won on the PGA? Barry, when was the last time Jason Day won on the PGA Tour? I'll throw that one at you. Have a guess. Oh, my
God. 2017? 2018 season?
2018. 2018 Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow. He won at 12 under par. He beat Nick Watney and Aaron Wise by 2 shots.
Yeah.
So Jason Day... Joel Damon, Sepp Strucker. I did have a very, 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 very close look at Aaron Wise, but I just cannot keep backing Aaron Wise at 20-1 or 18-1. 14-1 with Sky Bet Aaron Wise. Jeez.
Taking no chances.
He ticks every book, but every single statistical box you'd want ticked, Aaron Wise. But he's still only won once on the PGA Tour, and yes, it was in Texas. Mm. I think that's us done, isn't it?
Indeed, yes.
It's our last podcast of the year in terms of tips podcast next week. We have the RSM Classic on the PGA Tour. And Paul has got to the end of the DP World Tour season. And it's the DP World Tour Championship from the Earth Course in Dubai. It will be loaded.
Mm, yeah, look forward to that.
Rory McIlroy, 3-1 favourite.
Yeah.
Hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to the listeners. We'll be back next week. See you soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system, the golf betting system, it's the golf.